Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year, and welcome to our Spring Convocation 2018. It's good to be together again. A few of you are new to our community here at EMU. We offer you a special welcome and our hope that you will quickly come to view this community of learning as home for you. Today, we come together as one body with many members, a theme we will continue to explore during our spring semester chapels and convocations. I always look forward to spring convocation because it gives us a chance to turn a new page and begin a new year with a sense of hope and anticipation. The celebrations during the winter break prepare us for an attitude of hope as we celebrate the coming of one who embodies God's loving, gracious hope for the world. God enters into human history, willing to share in our suffering, and in Jesus points the way to healing and wholeness. Following Jesus means that we embrace the possibility of new things, of hope that moves us toward becoming the community of love and justice that God desires for all of creation. I hope that for each of you, your winter break provided you an opportunity to think hopefully about the possibilities the new year brings. God knows we needed such a break. For many of us, 2017 was a difficult year in our world, in our nation, and even here in our own EMU community. But the promise of Christmas is that God is with us in the midst of our difficulties, calling us to new possibilities. During the coming semester, as we continue celebrating EMU's centennial and anticipating our 100th commencement, we will have many opportunities to consider how God has been at work in the life of this community, even during difficult times, as we've tried in so many different circumstances across the past century to advance God's mission of bringing healing and wholeness to the world. I'm looking forward to hearing President Huxman's further thoughts on this later in the convocation as she asks the question, what do you do with a centennial? For now, I want to remind you and myself that the work we do together, students, faculty, and staff, is wholly hopeful work. As an academic community of learning, whatever our particular discipline may be, we observe deeply and analyze carefully, and in the process, we identify signs of God's loving, gracious, hopeful work in the world. And we respond by choosing actions growing out of our careful study that will help us to align ourselves with God's mission and love for the world. I'm grateful for the opportunity to do this work together with all of you as we face our challenges and move hopefully into the future. Welcome to this exciting new semester.
Hear this invocation as we open ourselves to God's presence among us. Ever-present, creating, sustaining, and redeeming God, be with us as we gather this morning, as we gather in this new year, the opening weeks of 2018, the second of two academic semesters for many of us, the first semester at EMU for some, the final semester for others. Be with us, God, as we send two groups of undergraduate students on cross-cultural quests of learning and formation. Be with us in the midst of trials, both personal and corporate, that have opened for many dynamics of grief and loss. Be with us in this space. As we embark upon the rigors of the academy, pushing and pulling, sharpening and shaping our ideologies and theologies, and honing our practices, form us evermore in your image. We seek your wisdom as we lean into our shared community of learning. Help us to place our trust in you with gratitude. Amen. and hear these words of Scripture as well from passages selected in light of the convocation address coming soon. Romans 12, 3 through 5. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2a. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight of the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And finally, 2 Timothy 4, 7. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. We'll hear those referenced later on from Dr. Susan Schultz Huxman. First, David Berry will lead us into Amazing Grace with his own rendition, and then I'll bring us in for singing. It's hymnal worship book, the Blue Book, 143. Blue 143, and we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 6. Unison is probably best because we don't know what David will do with his jazz rendition. But add harmonies as you wish. If it sounds right, it probably is. Thank you.
Hello all, my name's Adam Harnish, this is Caleb Schrockhurst, and we're the co-presidents of SGA Student Government Association. We want to welcome everyone back from winter break, and I gotta say, it feels great to be back on campus, but it feels really good to see a lot of familiar faces out there. I'm really excited for another semester with you guys.
It really is excellent to be back together as a community, and I'm excited to see what this semester brings. As a senior, it's a bit odd to be facing the real world in just 4 months after spending my entire life in academia up till this point. And even though this is my last semester here at EMU, I'm still blown away with the energy and potential that we as a faith and learning community have. I look forward to journeying together with you all one last time.
Yeah, and on journeys, we each have our own journey that we're going to be taking this semester, and that includes Eastern Mennonite University. In our centennial year, we're reflecting upon 100 years of our university's existence, but we're also looking ahead to what the future may hold. Caleb and I are both optimistic about EMU's future, and today we're happy to introduce someone else that feels the same way as we do, our president, Dr. Susan Schultz Huxman.
Dr. Huxman has served for more than 25 years in higher education in a variety of administrative and academic leadership roles. She served as Eastern Mennonite University's ninth president since January 1, 2017. She's made it through the first year.
Dr. Huxman was president of Conrad Grable University College, Canada, from 2011 to 2016. Previously, she was director of the Elliott School of Communication at Wichita State University, and she has served on several prominent Mennonite boards.
Dr. Huxman holds an MA and PhD in Communication Studies from the University of Kansas and a bachelor's degree in English from Bethel College. Her dissertation, titled In the World But Not of It, Mennonite Rhetoric in World War I as an Enactment of Paradox, was inspired by a history class that she took at Bethel.
Also, Dr. Huxman has won numerous awards and recognitions for teaching excellence when on the faculty at WSU. She has published 24 scholarly articles and book chapters and is co-author of The Rhetorical Act, Thinking, Speaking, and Writing Critically.
She and her husband, Jesse, have 3 adult children. Without further ado, please give it up for your president, Dr. Susan Schultz Huxman.
Well, thank you very much, Adam and Caleb, and I want to give it up to these SGA co-presidents who I've already enjoyed working with. Students keep us faculty and administrators humble. And where is our new professor, Dave Barry? Let's give it up one more time for this guy. Just beautiful and celestial. I think many of you know that part of the Mennonite faith tradition has always involved music. It's part of what makes us community. It's part of our theology. And yet there's some irony here for those of you who know our history. Instrumental music was not allowed in the first several years. Isn't this a wonderful full circle celebration that even the piano can worship God with us singing at the end? Well, greetings, EMU students, campus community, and guests, and welcome to spring semester 2018. I know it doesn't feel much like spring outside, but it will soon, because this is Virginia. It's not Canada, where I most recently came from, where there is snow and ice until April. Today, we mark a ritual at EMU, the opening of a term with a convocation service. This ritual goes back 100 years. As many of you know, Eastern Mennonite University is 100 years old this academic year. So the question that I want to address this morning is, what do you do with a centennial? There we go. Cody Yamada, author of an award-winning children's book series, has been asking similar questions. What do you do with an idea? What do you do with a problem? What do you do with a chance? Today, with the same kind of childlike curiosity, we ask a related question. What do you do with a centennial? like an idea, a problem, and a chance. A centennial is this big, messy, undefined thing. What do you do with it? You can't see it, or smell it, or touch it. You can't bounce it, or lift it, or kick it. You can't spend it, or save it. You can't fix it, or capture it, or gift it. And while we're at it, why should an institution mark a centennial? In other words, why should a school or a church or a business celebrate 100 years of existence? I mean, many institutions these days feel like they should fly below the radar, let alone celebrate their longevity. Why? Because institutions as a whole are not held in very high regard these days. Marriage, government, religion, churches, banks, schools, media, the courts, even hospitals and medical research, these are some of the great institutional building blocks upon which our country has been built. And yet, many Americans don't trust these institutional building blocks as being very sound. According to Gallup, Americans' average confidence in these institutions, collectively speaking, is at 32%, an all-time low, down from 50 to 60% only 10 years earlier. Yet despite the trend these days that bashing institutions is kind of cool, there are outliers. And guess what? Mennonites and other people and groups who support Anabaptist-inspired institutions have been standing tall among the outliers for, well, at least a century. Yes, Mennonites and other Anabaptist sympathizers have been some of the most industrious institution builders in the church world. Here on this slide are but a very few sampling of those Mennonite-inspired institutions. We have a whole raft of women and men through the ages who believed fervently that church institutions, schools, colleges, universities, hospitals, retirement homes, mission organizations, credit unions, and mental health centers were the most effective, efficient, and systematic way to extend the kingdom of God in our culture. Yes, that's right. Christian outliers, many of them Anabaptist, fervently believe that despite what the polls say, institutions, faith-inspired institutions, are the most effective stimulus for expanding God's reign for our time and our day. So how is the kingdom of God made visible through institutions? For EMU, it's our 19,000 living alumni as a great cloud of witnesses and the multiplying influence such numbers offer as our students graduate and serve and lead in a global context no matter where they live. So here we are at EMU, a church-related educational institution celebrating 100 years. No small feat when small liberal arts colleges across the country are merging or closing their doors even for good. And here at EMU, we are not immune. We too are facing some turbulent times. We too are making adjustments, painful adjustments to remain healthy and vibrant and manage strategic growth. And yet, let's not sugarcoat this. We are in a period of very difficult right-sizing that involves reducing or releasing some real salt-of-the-earth people who have made EMU a wonderful place to study, to learn, and to fulfill its noble mission. We are committed to walking with our accomplished colleagues who have been adversely affected by these adjustments in a myriad of supportive ways, precisely because our ecclesial identity demands it, As outlined in our scripture passage this morning, just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it. We belong to each other, and each needs all the others. So while we celebrate our 100-year longevity, we also recognize that just surviving turbulent times doesn't call for confetti and cake, especially when part of our institutional body is hurting. Dare I say, though, in many places in the world today, our alumni are not just surviving, but thriving. We are leading the pack in spreading our good news of faith and learning, service and research, peace and reconciliation. Ancho Perez, our alumnus of the year from Madrid, Spain, he's fluent in 9 languages. He owns and operates a company called 8belts.com, which is an internet-based learning program. He employs over 100 people in 9 countries. He said this in reflecting about how EMU has impacted his life. He said, "I can't believe how many people at EMU helped me find my calling, helped me make contacts all over the world. In every country, I find Mennonites, many with ties to EMU." And as an aside, Ancho joked, "When we get to Mars, you know what? I think we'll find Mennonites there." This eyebrow-raising idea, Mennonites on Mars, as implausible as it may sound, echoes a prominent theme of Don Crable's centennial book, EMU, A Century of Countercultural Education. How did a separatist, quiet in the land Mennonite community that opened a safeguard Bible school for its 7 students in 1917, grow rapidly into a world-class, world-engaged university with 1,700 students and thousands of alums serving and leading across the globe, including a Nobel laureate from Liberia 100 years later? As we launch our second century, may we not shrink from the possibilities of where we might land? Mennonites on Mars? Perhaps not. But as the poet Robert Browning once famously said, our reach should exceed our grasp, or what's a heaven for? So, what do you do with a centennial at EMU? You celebrate it, learn from it, and leverage it. First, we celebrate today. So far this year, our celebrations have included a big birthday bash in October with over 80 events ranging from concerts, hymn sings, jam sessions, lectures, panels, fundraisers, inspirational testimonies, awards, food, games, displays, contests, freebies, and yes, more food. And we're not done. On tap this semester are some of the following centennial branded events. February 16 through 18, EMU will host special guest Mosaic Theater. Their performances of I Shall Not Hate are funded by long-term Center for Justice and Peacebuilding donors and advocates James and Marion Payne, with proceeds benefiting you, EMU and CJP students. March 22nd to 24th will bring many invited guests on campus for a Borders and Bridges Roundtable hosted by the Center for Interfaith Engagement. Professor Mark Sawin and others will also be hosting a special Mennonite History Conference that looks specifically at how colleges and universities have celebrated their centennials. And we have some really exciting plans that are shaping up for how we will celebrate our 100th graduation exercises, our commencement ceremonies in early May. These grand plans will be revealed in due time, so stay tuned. So we celebrate today. A second thing you can do with a centennial is to learn about its past. you can read about the institution's history. What has changed? What has stayed the same? What's worked? What hasn't? When Don Crable, author of our recently released Centennial History Book, was asked what were some of the most surprising findings from his research about EMU's 100-year history, he offered these gems. He said, "First, I am amazed that the school failed twice in Virginia. It tried to get going in Newport News. It tried to get going in Alexandria. Both were busts. Finally, it was founded here in Harrisonburg in the beautiful Shenandoah Valley. Second," he said, "I am amazed that the Mennonite Church really never controlled the school. There was a brief stint a decade into its life when the Virginia Mennonite Conference owned and operated the school, but that too was very short-lived. Didn't realize how independent we were. Number three, I am amazed that I had not known, even though I am an EMU alum," he said, "that EMU was the first private college to accept an African-American student in 1948 in the state of Virginia, and one of the very early schools in the entire South. I am amazed that EMU practiced gender equality in student and faculty ranks long before other higher ed institutions did, especially in the South." Don says he would have loved to have met Ada Zimmerman, who in 1940 became the school's first dean of women. And finally, he said, I am amazed that the cornerstone expression, "Thy word is truth," is still relevant here at EMU 100 years later. The lines come from John's gospel. Jesus is the word, and the truth will set us free. Crable says the motto remains pertinent today by keeping EMU centered on Jesus and the perennial search for truth in the midst of a world full of lies, propaganda, and fake news. So we can learn from an institutional centennial by reading about its past. A third thing you can do with a centennial is to look to the future and ask brazenly, how do we get to our bicentennial? What might this university look like in 2117? And that's what we will be doing with a newly formed Second Century President's Advisory Group, a newly constituted group that will be gathering for their first meeting on campus in mid-March. These movers and shakers from all sorts of professional sectors, from near and far, young and old, alums of EMU, some of them not, they will be helping us set our strategic direction for our new century. You too can ask yourself, how can I be part of moving EMU to embrace its second century? Some of our enterprising students are already envisioning our second century. Junior Mario Hernandez of Honduras, who is majoring in history and biology, says, "My hope is that EMU will continue its compassionate service and dedication to the people of Harrisonburg. I hope that the connections and partnerships between the two will only continue to grow as Harrisonburg itself grows." Brittany Williams, a senior track and field athlete from King George, Virginia, who is majoring in recreational leadership and sports studies, says, "As EMU enters its second century, my hope is that all students can consider this community their home, whether an athlete, a student of a different denomination, religion, a student of color, or any other variant. I hope that EMU finds ways to better adjust to what all groups consider comforting." Senior math major, honors minor, and musician Luke Mullett from Berlin, Ohio, says, "My hope for EMU is that as it enters its second century, that the institution can move as rapidly as the student population on inclusion issues surrounding race, gender, sexuality, and other issues. And finally, Aaron Brubaker, a junior volleyball player from Gosel, Kansas, majoring in secondary math education, says, "I hope that our community continues to build upon its motto, continues to build upon the idea that we are a Christian university like no other, by integrating a strong faith background into the classrooms, sports fields, and residence halls." She says, "As a transfer student, I have been amazed by the inclusion, acceptance, and passion cultivated by the faculty and staff at EMU, all aspects that I hope will continue to touch student lives." So, what can you do with a centennial? Connect the dots. That's what. Connect the present with its past and its future in order to celebrate, learn, and boldly envision a new day. And why should educational institutions like EMU celebrate a centennial? Because the most efficient, effective, and systematic way to extend the kingdom of God in our culture is through our church institutions, especially our universities and seminaries. There is an African proverb that says, if you want to touch the past, touch a rock. If you want to touch the present, touch a flower. If you want to touch the future, touch a life. Here at EMU, in our centennial year, with our centennial generation in front of us, may we all of us, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, throw off everything that hinders and continue to fight the good fight. Run with perseverance the race marked out for us in order to touch the future, to touch a life, many lives here and around the world. May we continue to touch lives through our vision, to be a Christian university like no other, committed to rigorous and relevant academic training informed by a distinctive trifecta of life-changing and career-shaping influences: Christian discipleship, compassionate service, and transformative cross-cultural engagement. In 1917, Bishop L.J. Heatwall, one of the most patient and practical founding visionaries of this institution, listened intently to the opening convocation of our school, EMS, Eastern Mennonite School, as it was called then. The fruits of his long labor had finally come to fruition. He became profoundly moved. He said, "The beauty of the convocation service, including the rapturous singing, seemed so perfect. The sanctity of this place," he proclaimed, "must continue forevermore." May we continue to have such holy moments at EMU. May we continue to hear God's word, see the face of Christ in each other, and feel the Holy Spirit today, 100 years later, as together we touch lives to bring God glory. Amen.
Unfortunately, time doesn't permit us to have some more rapturous singing, so we'll go right into the cross-cultural sending. I'm Don Clymer, Interim Director of Cross-Cultural Programs, and beside me is Lana Miller, who is the undergraduate campus pastor. Today, the EMU community is saying farewell to the cross-cultural group sitting up here in the first couple of benches that is leaving tomorrow for Mexico, Guatemala, and Cuba. EMU, as a Christian university like no other, surrounds our groups with community and prayer support. As a symbol of this support, we have the group and its leaders gather up on these front stairs, and then family, friends, and other community members surround them by laying hands on them and a prayer which is directed by Lana. So Byron and Lisa, if you want to come forward first so that everyone can see who you are. Deanna, if you want to join, you may. Although you...
She's staying here.
And then the students, if you would all come forward and gather here on the stairs so that you all can see them. And finally, we invite anyone, whether they are family or friends or the faculty and staff, part of the community here, to come forward and lay on hands as Lana leads them in prayer. So come forward as you feel free to.
Let's pray together. God, we acknowledge you have been present with us this morning, that you are present with us each day, wherever we go. This morning, we especially ask your protection and blessing on each of the students and leaders who will be traveling to Guatemala, Mexico, Cuba. We also pray for those who will host them along the way. We're grateful for the desire and willingness of these students and leaders to step into unknown places, to grow, to learn, and be challenged through this cross-cultural experience. God, we ask that you open their eyes to the extraordinary world that you've created, that they would have hearts and minds of curiosity, openness to seeing you in unlikely places, and that they would care for one another along the way. May you be evident to them in moments of loneliness, in moments of fear or anxiety, and also in times of joy and discovery as they learn more about who you are, about others, themselves, and this wonderful world that you've created. We pray for the safety and health of each one, not only for them, but the people they meet, and also for those who they leave behind. May the people who host these group members have energy and wisdom to know best how to introduce them to the context in which they live. We pray for the group leaders, Byron and Lisa. Give them wisdom for the journey and the ability to sense your presence along the way. Thank you for the opportunity that each of us has as travelers and learners, able to risk stepping out of what's comfortable and into a world where we become vulnerable and dependent on your love and protection, and dependent on the community that we form and experience from and with others. In your mercy, we pray. Amen.